In the first week of January 2016, a vast golden statue of Mao was unveiled in the middle of the Henan countryside in central China, looming out of frozen brown fields under gray skies. Over 36 meters high, it cost 312,000 pounds to build and was paid for by local people and businessmen. For 48 hours, tourists gathered to take selfies with this curious effigy. Apart from the swept back, receding hairline, the statue's head barely resembled Mao. The statue was, word had it, the brainchild of one Mr. Sun Xingqin, a local food processing entrepreneur, crazy for the helmsman. His factory is full of Maos, testified a local potato farmer. Commentators in the Chinese cybersphere had divergent responses. Eternal life to Mao Zedong. He is our legend, our god. We should worship him. Crazy. Pull it down. It doesn't look like him. He should have been sitting on a sofa. Use the money to build roads or clinics instead, others argued. Then on 7 January, a black cloth was draped over Mao's head, and the statue was destroyed by public security officials, leaving behind only rubble and rumors that it had violated planning regulations. Even the usually authoritative People's Daily was puzzled by the whole business, confessing that the reasons for the demolition are not clear. Several locals wept as the statue came down, among them probably descendants of the multitudes. One analyst puts the figure at 7.8 million, who died in Henan during the 1960s famine caused by Mao's policies. The mysterious rise and fall of the golden Mao colossus of Henan evokes the elusive quality of Mao and Maoism, both in and beyond China. The term Maoism became popular in the 1950s to denote Anglo-American summaries of the system of political thought and practice instituted across the New People's Republic of China. Since then, it has had a fractious history. Its Chinese translation, Mao Zhuyi, has never been endorsed by CCP ideologues. It is a dismissive term used by liberals to describe adulation for Mao among contemporary China's alt-left, or by government analysts to describe and disavow Maoist politics in India or Nepal today. This group, sniffed the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs when protesting the use of the tag by the Communist Party of Nepal, Maoist, has nothing to do with China, and we feel indignant that they usurped the name of Mao Zedong, the great leader of the Chinese people. Orthodox Chinese analysts use the more cerebral term, Mao Zedong thought. Yet for all its imperfections, it will be used here because it has become the most commonly used term for a successful Chinese communist program from the 1930s to the present day. It has validity only on the understanding that the Maoist program, despite possessing a solid symbolic core in the shape of Mao himself, has taken various and often contradictory forms over decades and continents, according to context. It comes into formal existence in the early 1940s, though builds on antecedents from earlier in Mao's life and thought. This chapter sets out the core features of this program as Mao and his later disciples in China and beyond saw them, organizing them in the style of that ubiquitous badge of high 1960s Maoism, the Little Red Book, by a series of key quotations. It sorts between the derivative and the original in Mao's ideas, where they overlap with and differ from Mao's Soviet predecessors. Some of these differences are in kind, others in degree. In the former category, there is Mao's veneration of the peasantry as a revolutionary force and his lifelong tenderness for anarchic rebellion against authority. In the latter category, belong central elements of the Leninist-Stalinist project, with its veneration of political violence, its championing of anti-colonial resistance, and its use of thought control techniques to forge a disciplined, increasingly repressive party and society.